describing the personalities who assist in the affairs of material creation and their relationship, their empowerment from the Lord, and many features of worldly and transcendental activity. One of the last verses, the very last with the long meter, is describing one of my favorite stanzas. It's describing in the spiritual world all walking is a dance, all speaking is a song. It's a grand festival of transcendental glorification of the personality of Godhead. Because all the residents of the spiritual world, that's their absorption. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and His loving service. The state of love of God prevails, and through that quality of love, living entities are perfectly controlled, perfectly happily controlled by love. And those prayers of Lord Brahma are part of our practice for invoking auspiciousness from an auspicious occasion like this, a fire yajna, and installing Srimad Bhagavatam. When installing Srimad Bhagavatam, it's something like a deity. It's another form. The archa, vigraha, is a very standard, particular form of the personality of Godhead who one worships. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, towards the end, that one who studies the sacred conversation of Bhagavad Gita, they're worshipping him with their intelligence. The Srimad Bhagavatam described within the text itself is and also described in Padma Purana specifically. The Bhagavatam is the literary manifestation of the personality of Godhead. In the Padma Purana, in fact, it describes that the 12 cantos are darshans of the different features of the form of Krishna. The first two cantos are his lotus feet. So you can just stop there. Just go to the lotus feet, first two cantos, and get absorbed. Because when you found the lotus feet of the Lord, you found the Lord. And Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vritti Manti, one of the prayers in Sri Brahma Samhita, indicate that each of the angas, each of the limbs of the Lord, can perform any of the other functions of the other limbs of the Lord. His body is fully spiritual, so one part of his form is interchangeable with another part of his form. He can eat with his ears. He can see with his feet. He can do anything with any part of any of his limbs. But the lotus feet are, for us, taking the position of humble service. And each of the other cantos representing different features of the Lord's transcendental literary form, up to the lotus face, the smile, the broad forehead of the personality of Godhead. And so it's darshan of the Lord. He's giving his darshan by manifesting himself as Srimad Bhagavatam. I thought something nice to speak about because we just observed Krishna Janmashtami, where Krishna makes his appearance. So within the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya, they're asking Suta Goswami to describe the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a wonderful description. I'll just shortly summarize. Since that's their question, Suta Goswami begins describing Srila Vyasadeva and his work of Veda Vyas. He divided the Vedas and he divided them into a different division. So his one of his qualities is he is trikalagya. Trikalagya means that he can see things past, present, and future. And he can see perfectly. We see imperfectly the present. He sees perfectly the past, present, and future. So even before things happen, he sees them happening, or has that capacity. So he looked into the future, and what did he see? He saw the onrush of Kali Yuga, because his compiling of the Vedas was around the time of Krishna's appearance, or towards the end of Dwarpa Yuga. And following Dwarpa Yuga comes Kali Yuga. And he looked ahead at Kali Yuga, and what he saw was not very nice. It was, he saw the degradation, deterioration, the diminishing. Prayinal payusha kshabhya kalavasmin yugejana mandaksa mandamatayo mandabhagya upadrita. In the words of the sages of Naimisharanya, they saw very bad. Good qualities destroyed. The duration of life diminished. The quality of spiritual inclination diminished. The quality of compassion diminished. The ability to be attentive in spiritual matters diminished. And above all, people are always quarreling and disturbed with one another. In such a condition, how are they going to understand spiritual matters? In fact, that's why the sages had gathered to have their assembly in Naimisharanya Forest, because they also knew by their astrological calculations what was going to happen. So Vyas knew from seeing, and he was inspired. I have to do something. They're heading for the ditch. I have to do something. So he, being a literary person, he did something. He did a literary work, which was as knowing that the memory of people would be diminished, along with so many other qualities, he took upon himself the task of taking the Vedas, which were previously existing through oral tradition, through sound vibration, and put them in a written form, so that people could read them again and again and gradually, eventually assimilate the message, because they couldn't do it just by hearing. So he progressively took the Vedas and divided them into different divisions and entrusted one of his disciples with a group of other disciples to assist him in preserving and maintaining each of the four Vedas. And then he compiled the Puranic portion of the Vedas entrusted to one of his disciples. It turned that this is the father of Sutta Goswami, Ramaharshan, was given responsibility for the Puranic portion. And then he compiled Vedanta Sutra, the essence of all of the Vedas. And then he, having completed all this monumental work, he did what most people do when they complete some important task. You step back from the task, just like the devotees that set up this arena. How did it come out? So you're writing a paper for school. You do the research and you do the writing, and then you step back and how did it come out? Like that. Or an artist makes a painting, or the cook makes the offering. How did it come out? So he was doing like that with his literary work. And as he was contemplating the product of his fantastic literary composition, he felt something, because he was introspective sage. He felt despondency, not insufficiency. We all know, you know, like this little pinch inside that says, something's not right. Something doesn't feel right. And as he was feeling like that, he was contemplating, why is that feeling there? I just done this work. And lo and behold, his spiritual master, with his uncanny ability to know exactly when to appear and where to appear and what to say and what to do and everything, Narada Muni appeared at his ashram. So Vyasa naturally approached Narada and asked him, why am I feeling this? Well, first Narada said, you know, you don't look so good. What's wrong? You don't seem to be happy. Yeah, I don't feel something's missing. But you're Trikalagya. You're so intimately connected to the personality of Godhead. You're like the super soul in the heart. Surely you must know. So Narada said to Vyas that you've done a very excellent work. You get an A in your exam for having compiled the Vedas with perfect precision. There's no flaw in what you've done, but you've given inordinate amount of emphasis upon fruitive activity. That portion of the Vedas that describes fruitive activity is extensively described. And the nature of the persons who you have written this for, the residents or the denizens of Kali Yuga, they already have very strong fruitive tendencies. And so it's as if you have authorized and endorsed their fruitive tendencies. And so that's what they're going to do. And pursuing those fruitive tendencies, they'll miss the purpose behind all of those elevated subject matters and hymns of the Vedas and so forth. They'll become covered. Yesterday we discussed this in terms of Narada speaking to King Prachini Parishat, where essentially his message was the same. He didn't understand Narada's allegory because he was attached to fruitive activity and enjoying the fruits of his fruitive activity, and his consciousness became covered of what the real purpose of those dharmic activities are. The real purpose was lost. And even Narada was pointing, here it is, here it is. I don't see it. Where? It's described in the Vedas, there are four defects of every conditioned souls, and one of them is imperfect senses. It's something like when you lose your car keys, you can't find them, or you lose your wallet, or you lose your glasses. Especially that when you lose your glasses, because without your glasses, how can you see your glasses? I have one godbrother, Naranjan Maharaj, that regularly says, can you help me find my glasses? I can't see them without my glasses. Here they are. So, supposing you lose your car keys, and you know you have to have your car keys to get in the car and go do the things you got to do, and you're looking, and see, where did I put it last? You go to that place, no, they're not there, and check your 10 times, check your, the places where that should be, and you can't find them, and then somebody comes and you say, can you help me find my car keys? They go, they're right there. Where? Right there. I don't see them. Here they are. Look, they're right here. Oh, I guess I have imperfect senses. Couldn't see. So, like that, because in the conditioned state, the conceptions of life become covered, the senses become covered, their capacity, the filters of seeing reality is blocked or obfuscated by the clouds of impure conditions of heart, anarthas and abhadras, ridya abhadra, impurities of heart. So we can't see what's what, even if someone says, there it is. I don't see it. Right there. So Narada was saying to Vyasa that that's why you're feeling the way that you're feeling. You've given an inordinate amount of emphasis to that portion of the Vedas, and insufficiently have you glorified and directly described the personality of Godhead as He is the goal. Vedaish chasayar vayar aham eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that's the purpose of the Vedas, sarva vedyayar, is to understand Krishna. And he says authoritatively, I know this because I compiled the Vedas. And I know the Vedas as they are, and that's the purpose, to know Him. So Narada said to Vyas, I have two instructions for you. So that was why, and then here's what to do. He gave him two instructions. And the best way to give instructions is don't say what you should do, but you do something else. That's called duplicity. And nobody likes duplicitous kind of things. He said, do as I have done. That's the good one. So, fix your mind, sit in trance of meditation, where your mind is ananyas chintayanto mam. Your mind is completely fixed in transcendence. And then, you'll have some experience, some realization. On the basis of that realization, write another literature that's simply glorification of the personality of Godhead. Paradharma, in the language of the Bhagavatam. Savaipungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje. Compile such a literature. And he said, don't worry. If there is some imperfection or flaw in the composition, that's not something to concern yourself with. I mean, you tried to do it perfectly. But even if there's some irregularity in that composition, then it doesn't diminish the force or the purity of the presentation of Krishna. So when Srila Prabhupada undertook the awesome task of translating the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, in the preface of Srimad Bhagavatam, we refer to one verse where Narada is speaking to Vyas the following. It's a very nice verse. Tadvag Visargo Janata Agha Viplava Yasmin Prakishto Kimabhad Yavat Svapi Namanya Nantasha Yushon Katanyat Srinvanti Gayanti Grananti Sadavaha. I mean, it's so nice sounding, even if you don't know what the meaning is. It just sounds really nice. But here's the meaning. Tad vag. Those words, that speech, which tad vag visarga. Visarga means it's creation. The creation of those words. Janata agha viplava. Janata, those of you from India, you know what Janata Party is, the People's Party. Janata. For people in general, Janata. And Janata Agha means sins. The sins of people in general are Viplava. And Viplava is a strong word. It's stronger than Vinashati. It's destroyed completely. Vinashati is what Krishna does with the demons. And what the Bhagavatam does with the aghas within our heart, viplava, completely annihilates. Prabhupada has translated this as it creates a revolution, a spiritual revolution, in the impious lives of people in general. Those words which directly glorify the personality of Godhead. create a spiritual revolution in the hearts of those who are victims of this age of Kali or subjected to the unpleasant circumstances, the surcharged, negatively surcharged atmosphere of Kali Yuga, creates a spiritual revolution in their lives. Namanya Natasya Yashon Katanya, beginning with the name. So the name, fame, qualities, pastimes, nama, rupa, guna, lila, the descriptions of these things, those words have that potency. So this was Narada's instruction. Compose such a literature. Just focus on this one thing. And if there's some flaw in the composition, it won't diminish. Just like the light of the moon is not diminished by the pockmarks on the moon. Somebody may look, oh, look, see those pockmarks on the moon? But the light of the moon is not diminished by those marks. The beneficial effect of such literature as Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not that it was to be composed in a sloppy manner, but even if there was some irregularity, these messages, Shrinvanti, when they're heard, Gayanti, when they're spoken, and Grinanti, I like the word Grinanti, it means you make it one with your heart, you bring it within. Sadhava. One becomes sadhu. You just by hearing, the soul becomes cleansed. Vidhunoti suritsatam. The heart becomes cleansed. Just by hearing. It's very easy. Heart cleansing. Just hear. The spiritual sound vibration, the unmixed sound vibration of direct glorification of the personality of Godhead, not with some fruitive intention, if I do this thing, I'll get that thing. That's business. But not with a business purpose in mind, but the heart cleansing purpose in mind. Let my heart become pure. Because when the heart becomes pure, it's inviting for Krishna to manifest himself before us within our heart, as happened with Vyasa, as happened with Narada, and those that follow their teaching, their instruction. And this composition of Srimad Bhagavatam is such a literature. So this is an event to honor the invitation of Krishna to reside in your home in his literary form. And there are many, many, many verses in other portions of the Sattvika Puranas that describe the merit of keeping Srimad Bhagavatam in one's home. It describes just keeping on your shelf. Of course, there's better things to do than just keep it on your shelf. But even if you just keep it on your shelf and see from time to time, oh, there's Srimad Bhagavatam. That thought is purifying. It can purify the heart. What to speak of opening and reading some of the verses, vibrating those spiritual sounds. Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhavaha. One's existence becomes progressively transformed or spiritualized, elevated through sound to the spiritual platform. So we're going to have a little yajna. It was reciting further mantras, Mangalacharana prayers, and then we'll have arti for Srimad Bhagavatam. Is Lal Gopal here yet? Yes? No?
No.
Okay. So, Jamuna Jivana, we need to... Can you put this back on the... There aren't too many persons that are Sanskrit scholars in the world. And of those that are Sanskrit scholars, having access to the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam is yet further rare. So, when, like many of you, our founder Acharya was a householder at one time. He had a number of children, he had his business, and he was a Vaishnava. And he was inclined in a literary way. He liked to write. And his spiritual master instructed him, you write. Write about spiritual topics. And so he did that, and he received an additional instruction that he should go to the Western countries, the English-speaking parts of the world, and deliver the message of Lord Chaitanya. The message of Lord Chaitanya is devotional service to Krishna, Shuddha Bhakti. Come to the stage of pure devotional service through the processes of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting about the personality of Godhead. That was a big order from his spiritual master. It was the first instruction that he received the very first day that they met, and it was the final instruction he received from his spiritual master 5 or 6 days before his spiritual master departed from this world in the form of a letter that didn't arrive until after his spiritual master's departure. So imagine the weight of receiving that instruction. Imagine being a pure devotee and imagine receiving such an instruction. Go to the other side of the world and give this message of pure devotion. So to prepare himself for that, he made the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is the basis of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The message of Srimad Bhagavatam is the message of Shuddha Bhakti. Dharma Prodita Kaitavodra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam, in the language of the Bhagavatam. This particular literature is not going to deal with the fruitive activities and how to enhance your position of worldly enjoyment. Rather, this literature is only going to deal about Paradharma, the ultimate stage of activity for the soul in the purified state. That's the subject matter of this literature. And a lifetime's work to compile such literature. But Srila Prabhupada worked diligently, and he translated many other volumes of writings also. And now it's so simple. If any of you here would like to read Srimad Bhagavatam, if it was just 20 years ago, or what, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, to get a Srimad Bhagavatam, it had to be, you know, it just wasn't available. Previously, it was by hand, and previously, it was by sound, and you had to be a Shrutidhar to be able to hear it and remember it. And now it's so simple. You go to Krishna.com, click, and Srimad Bhagavatam, click, and give your credit card information, click, give your address, click, and comes to your front door. Just lift your hand. Or come to the temple or speak to one of the devotees and they'll arrange for the BBT to ship Srimad Bhagavatam to your home. And then have a wonderful ceremony where you invite Srimad Bhagavatam in a formal way. As you invite a wonderful guest, you receive a wonderful guest in a appropriate manner. So that's what we're doing. And So we'll recite responsively the Mangalacharana prayers and pour oblations into the fire, and you can put grains into the fire, and then we'll have arti for Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.